Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Facing our fears, and inserted in your program, you have a little thing that looks like this, and it says, I am here to bless the world in a significant way. And I'd like you to kind of have that as an undergirding for everything that I have to address today, as we face our fears and overcome them, that we are definitely a blessing, and blessing the universe, and blessing it in a significant way. And of course, we bless it in other ways too. So I put an email out saying that I was going to be addressing the financial crisis of the world. And I guess there's not a lot of people that are into fear about it, because we have less people here this week than last week. But I'm glad that each and every one of you are here today. And of course, it's not going to be my whole topic, of course. But first of all, what we have to realize is that there's a need to face our fears, because you know that there's a lot of fear right now in the world, especially relative to the financial crisis. Crisis, challenge, problem, opportunity, choice, project, right. Okay, so my purpose is threefold. How do you hold fear? Do you hold it as something negative or something that perhaps sometimes positive? I want to ask another question in my first point. What is fear and what does it do? And number two, to face our fears, first of all, what? We have to acknowledge them and be aware that we have a fear. Then we can face it. Then, if we're willing, we can walk through it and overcome it. It's not so much about eliminating them. There's going to be those things that surface. So to be aware, to face, and then to walk through them. And then number three, facing our fears is one form of divine refinement. I haven't used that term for a long time, and it's a great term. Because sometimes when we go through life, sometimes we think we're enrolled in a PhD of divine refinement. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then like wait a minute. Okay, so fear is not a thing. It's not a thing. It is an emotion, and if we look at that word emotion, emotion, energy in motion, and it stems from our ideas, concepts, and imaginings. Okay? One of the shifts that I'd like you to make, and I have mentioned this many times from the front of the room over the years, sometimes people say about emotions, and I'll use the term afraid. I am afraid. We have to be very, very careful what we say after we declare I am. That is a very powerful spiritual statement. So instead of saying I am afraid, what about saying I am feeling afraid? There's a whole different area, a whole different way of looking at that, a whole different way of being with that. I am experiencing the emotion of fear. I am feeling afraid right now, or whatever. Instead of I am. Okay? Many times fears are experienced before or after an action. And I would like us also to make the second shift. Instead of saying I am feeling afraid of, instead of saying of, say associated with. I have a fear associated with. Or I am feeling afraid, and it's associated with And that's a whole different context instead of just saying, I am afraid of. Good shifts to make. Most of people's fears have to do with something that either has happened and they're dragging it forward into the present and future, or something that hasn't even happened yet. It's about projecting scary scenarios. And right now, especially, we're constantly being bombarded with news and ads. There's not a lot of great news out there. I had great news this morning when I filled up my tank with gas. It cost me less than $40. Wow! And I was almost on empty. I went, wow, isn't that a change? Do we really like celebrate that kind of thing? Or do we stand there and think of when it cost us how much and hope to God it's not going to go back up? And, you know, instead of just really being thankful and blessing the fact that gas has gone down. I put on the whiteboard, many of you have heard this acronym before, fear, false evidence appearing real, or fantasy experiencing being experienced as real. Most of us, if we are into the feeling of fear, have scared ourselves by our imaginings, our imaging. See, conditions, circumstance, environment, and people doesn't really make us unhappy or feeling of fear. It's our thoughts and our stories about the conditions, circumstance, environment, and or people. It's our thoughts about it and the stories that we make up in our mind. And naming something as bad causes an emotional contraction within us. You know, a lot of times we're just not even consciously aware of it. What about saying something like this to ourselves? Right now, at this moment, I'm creating suffering for myself. Have we ever thought of that that way? Right now, I'm creating suffering for myself. Whether we're being impatient, whether we're feeling irritation, whether we're feeling ticked off, angry, or fearful. So there's lots of ways that we can hold it a little bit differently than perhaps we have been holding it before. The feeling of fear can become actually addictive. You know, sometimes people just love to go to horror stories and violent shows. It's like it's almost like they want to be frightened. It's a four-letter word. One time I was giving a topic and I called it the big F. And some people thought. And I thought, where were their minds? It was forgiveness. That's what I was talking about, the big F forgiveness. We have over 66,000, I don't know whoever counted, but I read this somewhere, 66,000 thoughts per day. And sometimes some people can have as many as 2/3 of them negative that might produce the feeling of fear. Many times some people slip into the feeling of fear as many as 20 or 30 times a day, but they dismiss it as nervousness. They dismiss it as nervousness. And you know, one of my favorite sayings from up here is always look deeper. Always look deeper. If there's some sort of a negative emotion happening within you, look deeper. Look deeper, and you usually will find that underneath it all, there's a fear associated with something. Possibly some unfinished business or some of your thoughts, concepts, or imaginings that are going off on left field. So what can fear do? Or it can lead to inhibitions. It can paralyze some people, and faith can liberate them. It can balloon into paranoia or generate neurotic defensive structures, and that can be contagious. So what does it do? It triggers the dysfunction of our acupuncture meridians. It affects our atomic I always want to say automatic nervous system. It alerts every nerve. Our heart rate accelerates. Our blood pressure rises. It affects our digestion. Our breathing and muscles tighten. And it could, of course, corrode our thinking, distorts our view, halts spontaneity, and puts a damper on enthusiasm and self-confidence. For some people, it can be a motivator. Not a very great motivator, but some people are motivated. That's their motivator in life. Dr. Hawkins says, when we're living in fear, we have a life view that is frightening. A life view that is frightening. And a view of God that is punishing. Many times, fear is associated even with living. And some people have a worse fear associated with living than they have of dying. Fear associated with death and dying affects every area of our lives. Dr. Chopra, Deepak Chopra, has said underneath, I'm not quoting him, but he said this, it's conceptually and contextually accurate, that underneath every fear, if we look deeper, 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 it's the fear of dying. And of course, here at the center, we say we don't have a soul. We are a soul. We're a spiritual being going through a human experience. So what dies is our body. Who we really are as spiritual beings can never die. We're eternal. So fear associated with loss, failure, being hurt, all those fears associated with are all ego-based fears associated with death and annihilation. I have a few quotations about fear around death and dying. Anais Nin said, people living deeply have no fear of death. People living deeply have no fear of death. And then George Bernard Shaw said this, life does not cease to be funny when people die any more than it ceases to be serious when people laugh. And then Woody Allen said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Yeah. There's not a lot of difference between the fear associated with death and the fear associated with change, because death is a huge change. So, you know, just look in your life when, you know, you've had the experience of being fearful. It's really good for us to acknowledge when we're afraid, when we're feeling fearful. So to be aware of it, acknowledge it, and then face it, and then walk through it. Then walk through it. Walking through it is better than walking over or around it or whatever, because that might take a few lifetimes. So be willing to walk through your fears. Be willing, as the insert says, to have the courage to be yourself. Many times people do not, they have a fear associated with being real, being themselves, being authentic, and telling the truth. I read a book many years ago, I think it was Conscious Relationships or Conscious Loving, and they had a term in there that I really liked, tell the microscopic truth. So when we're in that kind of fear, of course, we're not remembering that who we are expressions of God going through this particular incarnation. One of the things that's absolutely imperative for us to walk through and first of all face our fears, acknowledge them, is to realize what your concept of God is. And I've spoken about this many, many times here at the center. There was a doctor, I don't recall what his name is, we have him on video, and he was speaking to a bunch of caregivers and not so much caregivers, the health profession years ago in Vancouver. And he was talking about cancer. And he said how important it was for people to have a healthy idea of what happens to us after death. That's something to think about. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to know, and I don't know how many of you were raised by the scriptures. I don't know how many of you were. I wasn't. Sometimes I say thank God for that. But in the scripture, there's a story about Job. You need to know that God doesn't play games with an entity called the devil. The book of Job is really teaching us one thing and one thing only, and there's one phrase in the book of Job that's it. And that is, the thing that I have feared has come upon me. That's the big lesson in the whole story about Job. The thing I have feared has come upon me. Remember, we have thoughts that create feelings. The feeling creates a vibration. The vibration attracts electromagnetically it into our life. Everything is energy. There is nothing that is not energy. You are energy, your thoughts are energy, your feelings are energy. It's all vibration and it's all energy. So, again, looking at your concept of God, God isn't a parent or a disturbed child, doesn't punish the so-called wicked. It's not sadistic or cruel. It has no desire for revenge. If you want to learn more about the scriptures, study the New Testament rather than the Old Testament. The Old Testament is like the evolution, the unfoldment of consciousness on concepts of God. See, right at the beginning, you walk and talk with him in the cool of the night. At the end of the Bible, it says God is spirit, which is right. It's the story of the evolution of the concept of God. Surely there's no intelligence in the universe that wishes us to be sick, to suffer pain, or to be unhappy, or to, for us to end up in oblivion. Surely. I'm hoping that nobody here believes that. Be aware that when we're into the fearful mood, it's almost always associated with something that might happen, not something that is happening right now. Eckhart Tolle reminds us that we can always cope with the present moment, always. Our inner alignment with the now is the end of suffering. That's a quotation from him. Inner alignment with the now is our end of suffering. And unhappiness and problems can't survive in the now. See, we can't cope with a mind projection or the future. Has anybody ever coped with the future? If you have, I want to talk with you after. My topic for the Christmas candle lighting in a couple of weeks is the future is now. The future is now. A couple of years ago, I did a whole topic on Greg Braden's, one of his books, where he talked about, addressed what he calls universal fears in the world, universal core fears. He says that they're pervasive throughout social, political, economic, ethnic, cultural, and romantic, and business relationships. And these are them. And I'm not going to go into all of them individually, but I think it's really important for us to realize how, you know, that we do have these fears associated with, number one, separation or abandonment, being left, being dumped. Number two, inadequacy. Either that there's not enough, or that we are not enough, or that something isn't enough. Our RRSPs are not enough right now. They've gone down. They're a crisis, you know. And then number three, the world is not safe. We went out for dinner the other day, and the lady who was treating us, his sister was in, and her significant other is stuck in Thailand right now. You know what's happening in Thailand? They can't get out. They can't get out. And guess what? She developed shingles. Okay. So when we look at some feelings of jealousy, anger, even rage, alcoholism, codependence behaviors are all examples of the expression of these universal core fears seeking resolution. Seeking resolution. So if we have these things surfacing in our life, you know, can we just, you know, say, well, so this wants to seek resolution within me. It isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's like a red flag. It's like a wake-up call. The media reminds us daily of the current world situation. And once fear is our focus, there's an endless worrisome events in the world that feed it. So some of you received a letter from me, that letter from the board, actually, a few weeks ago, that we shared a letter that I got from one of my spiritual mentors, Roy Eugene Davis. He's actually my main spiritual mentor. He was the man who ordained me 24 years ago. He has a center near Atlanta, Georgia, called the Center for Spiritual Awareness. And he said this, I'm quoting from the letter and from his letter, because this is what we put in our letter. Donations to the Center for Spiritual Awareness in Georgia this year have been smaller, perhaps because of widely reported public unrest and insecurity regarding unsettled international affairs, negative media comments about a temporary period of economic recession, political debates, high gasoline prices, global warming, dramatic climate changes, or other troublesome conditions. If you have been concerned or emotionally unsettled because of local, national, and international events, or your personal circumstances are not satisfactory, now is the time to, and he's got the following in bold, sow mental seeds of good fortune by maintaining an optimistic mental attitude. That takes discipline, I know. Number two, be aware of your true nature and your eternal relationship in and with the infinite. Number three, live each day with a clear sense of meaningful purpose, doing with decisive intention what is best for you and for others who are influenced by your actions. While skillfully performing wisely chosen practical physical actions, remember that your constructive mental attitudes and clear states of consciousness blend with the collective consciousness of everyone on the planet to silently bless and uplift them. So this is not only for ourselves that we're looking at facing our fears and moving through them. This is how we can be a blessing to the universe. Okay. Looking for something else that I wanted to share with you. I always get newsletters from A Course in Miracles group in California, and I agree with so much that they had to say. This current economic crisis is our opportunity to see what our response will be, whether it will be a response or a reaction. Just look for yourself. Have you responded or have you reacted? Will it reflect us coming from the power of love, the love at the core that we are, or, like that's a response, or will we be reacting in fear? Can we look at this as like a crossroads to assist us in evaluating our values, our goals, and create an economic and societal change? Or will we react in fear and blind panic, which will have a downward cycle that can be catastrophic. There was a correlation between this happening and someone perhaps that two individuals getting the same diagnosis that were potentially terminal. See, one could be chronically fearful, feel hopeless, and does nothing or very little positive, and then becomes isolated, may even blame others, blame the situation, and eventually die. Or another person, perhaps, that's been diagnosed with the same kind of challenge, though concerned, and at times may feel fearful and acknowledge that fear, uses the situation to evaluate their life, and actually some of these people can find it as a gift for themselves in making important decisions, changes, new directions, and purpose. Many years ago when we had an office assistant, Zena, and she experienced breast cancer, and after she had her operation, and she was speaking to me about it, and she said, you know, I'm treating myself better than I've ever treated myself in my whole life. And I know she wouldn't mind my sharing this. She dumped an abusive boyfriend. Uh-huh. So here's the thing. Can we hold this, if we want to call it financial crisis, that at the core of it is a myth. And the myth is more wealth makes us happier. More wealth makes us happier. I'm not saying that money isn't important, but this thought of that more, and greed, more wealth will not make us happier. Just look at what's happened to many people that have won big lottos. Not a lot of them have that money later on. The ones that still have the money and have, you know, used it intelligently were at a different level of consciousness than the people that a year or two or three later didn't have any, even after that big win. So it's about us detoxing our mind, facing and walking through it, being extremely aware of what frequency we are tuned into. You know, if you don't like that radio station, what do? You tune the radio into a different frequency. So if we don't like what's happening in our life, if we're being very fearful, can we fine-tune our own instrument, and can we tune our instrument and our thinking into a different channel? Of course we can. Take inventory of what's occupying our mind and give negative ideas notice. I was reading about bats. Bats can train themselves to tune into the right frequency of frogs making noises. And they can pick out a non-poisonous frog if there's one in 20. That's what a bat can do. Well, of course, we're not bats, but can we, you know, train ourselves to only, you know, go in the direction, move in the direction, talk about, embrace, be with people of a frequency that we want to emulate? That's the thing. So here we are now. We're in divine refinement. Last week I spoke about evolution and or creation, and I made the statement that evolution is the actualization of the experience of creation, and it's really about the invisible becoming the visible, which I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. So when a barrier is put in front of us, can we hold it like it's God or the universe asking us to remember who we are and what we are, and reminding us not to let ourselves be defined by things that are outside of ourselves. Any experience of fear is to spur us to an acknowledgement and recognition of who we are as powerful spiritual beings, that the wisdom and guidance and love is already available in us. You know, in Scripture in Timothy, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and good discipline." Resist not evil is one of the highest truths of humanity. And I really like what Eckhart Tolle said in one of his books. Tolle said, he said, accept what is. And he said, even accept that you may be agitated, that you may be angry, that you may be experiencing fear right now. Bring your acceptance into your non-acceptance. And then you're what we resist persists. So we're not resisting it anymore. We're not resisting it anymore. And every difficult situation that brings up any of those fearful thoughts is a powerful means, if we let it, for working through things of the past, for working through some guilt, anything that we may be, you know, hooked on from the past. Joseph Campbell said this, opportunities to find deeper power within ourselves comes when life seems most challenging. There's a process, I think, that Dr. Hawkins talks about, what then? It's like, okay, so a job is lost. What then? Well, I won't have any money. What then? I might be evicted from my home, or I might be foreclosed on. What then? I'll be homeless. What then? I'll have no food. What then? I could starve. What then? I could get sick. What then? I could die. You see how underneath it all, it's always that. So I just want to start winding down here. I was listening to a guest that Dr. Schuller had a couple of weeks ago. It was Dr. Ben Carson. He was a neurosurgeon at the Johns Hopkins Hospital, and he wrote the book Take a Risk. And he said, you know, look at what's the best thing that would happen if you do or don't do this, or if this happens or doesn't happen. And then look at what's the worst thing if you do or don't do this, or if this happens or doesn't happen. And then you're like, you know, like you're not being afraid of the future. We can't be conscious and be creating suffering for ourselves. So here's the thing. I want to ask you something. Has there ever been anything in your life that you couldn't handle? You've handled it because you're here. You've handled it because you're here. And you handled it to the best of your ability. And this you may not know, that the only difference between fear and excitement is what we call it. So what are we going to say? Oh no, or oh boy. Oh boy. I know when John and I were coming back from Colchester in London, and we went to take the train back to London to take our flight the next day, and we get to the station, and there's a whole bunch of people there. The trains aren't going to London that day. Found out that a rat had gotten into where the cables were and had chewed the cable, and the trains weren't running. Yeah, oh boy. And I just turned to John and I said, we're going to have an adventure today. I don't know if I'd have said that if we were catching our flight that day. It was the next day. But I did say we're going to have an adventure that day, and they got buses for us and all the rest, and it was great. I sat beside, we couldn't sit together because whatever, and I was sitting beside a fellow I really enjoyed. That was part of my adventure that day. So are you willing to acknowledge your fears? Are you willing to face them? And are you willing to move through them in a powerful way? Are you willing?
Yes.
Yes, I am too. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you.